We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Radio.com.
Miller now in front against George. 5 seconds. George backing up. Miller doesn't want to pick. Dame going for the win. A three-pointer for the game.
Yeah! It was a great feeling. When it left my hands, it felt good. I felt good about it. And the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game, I just kept telling myself, like, for us to get this game, we was going to have to really, really dig, you know, to come out on top. So the fact that I kept telling myself that, and then we came out on top and the shot went in, I was like, man, it really happened. You know, we really dug and pulled it out. So it was a great feeling.
I mean, that's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But, hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. We live with that.
He's right. He's right about one thing. That was a bad shot. Wow, that was bad.
By
that was
a bad man.
Shot. That's yeah, a bad man.
Bad man.
All right, let's jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We're going to bring on Ira Winderman right now from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Next question, Ira. How are you doing this morning?
Damian Lillard can answer all my questions going forward after that. I mean, wow. I mean, the moment, the step back, the confidence, the comeback that the Blazers had, a team that was swept out of the playoffs the previous two seasons, sometimes you just need to step up and man up, and what a moment.
That was unbelievable. It really was. That was fun to watch last night. He just took that game over. Hey, by the way, let's get to something good, Ira.
Sure.
We've been thinking about you with this whole Barry Trammell thing going back and forth with Russell Westbrook, but it's been going on for a long time, and no comment, and next question, and a bunch of stuff's gone back. Now Steve Kerr's got comment. What are your thoughts on it overall, first of all?
My thoughts on it is a classic case of bullying, and that in the NBA, which has gone on and done public service commercials about bullying and discussed the issues, to allow someone in a position of power to take advantage of someone who is in a lesser position and use that to his advantage, to me, that's all it is. There's a different way to handle it instead of publicly shaming and publicly humiliating someone.
Yeah.
Now you could say, hey, it's part of the job for both of them, you know, and they're both big boys and they can deal with it. I agree with that also. It is a crappy look for the NBA, and I will bet you somewhere there are people in the NBA league office smiling, knowing they don't have to deal with that anymore after the Thunder were eliminated.
Barry, by the way, came out and partially blamed the commissioner, who says he kisses too much player ass on this thing instead of doing his job. The old commissioner would have taken care of this a long time ago. Do you agree?
I mean, there's been multiple situations like that, whether it's sort of James Dolan's treatment of the fans in New York and some of these other episodes, and he's just sort of let it escape by. And that's what gets me, is that all these leagues do these wonderful public service ads and actually back up the commitment with all of that. And then you get a case of bullying, whether it's what James Dolan has done in New York with fans and the situations there, whether it's a situation like we've seen here, you know, with Russell Westbrook. And so it's like, you know, it's the old thing. You can say all you want, but when it comes time for you to actually follow up with action and you don't, to me, that's different. And again, this is not about what one person wrote about someone and someone taking umbrage. This is a long-term thing where someone is clearly making an issue against an individual, and it just comes out looking really crappy for the league.
Ira, you ever have a player kind of next question you? I know that, you know, Riley and Spoelstra sometimes don't like you, but what about
Spo gets hot with
you
sometimes.
What about a player over all the years you've been in that Heat locker room?
You know what? But even with those two, it's always professional. It's
no, I know that. I make that as a joke.
An answer like that. I mean, I've had issues with one Heat player over the years, and that was Josh McRoberts, who I just felt lost his sort of desire and love for the game. So whenever I asked him something, you never knew what the answer was going to be. You sort of cringed a little. Again, he wasn't a difference maker. The only incident, and I've mentioned this on the Hockman Show at times, is I once, and sort of you have a moment, and players don't forget. That's the one thing about players. If they feel they're being shorted, they will never forget. So when I wrote a story, which I did not even remember, about the Heat keeping Eddie House over Patrick Beverley never forgot. And when I ran him to the Clippers locker room a year or so back, and I was waiting for Willie Reed, he came up to me and he goes, "You're Ira Winderman." And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "I know who you are, and I know who you wrote, and you don't belong in here." And like, okay, it was really uncomfortable,
wow.
But I didn't need to talk to him, and I sort of moved on, and now I sort of look left and right in L.A. whenever I'm there, just to make sure no one's lurking around the corner.
I think the fact you're waiting for Willie Reed says a lot about you right there. What the hell were you waiting for Willie Reed for?
Well, you know what, former Heat player, but that was a moment. That was the closest I've ever come to, you know, being quote-unquote threatened, but Joe knows this. You write something about a player, you say something on the air about a player, you guys especially, you know, you're talking for 4 hours, you sort of forget about it. But if something gets in a player's craw, they don't forget at all. And they can tell you, "Oh, I remember what you said on December 3rd at 7:43 a.m. about me."
Yeah.
Players remember those moments. And, Joe, you know this. They use it for motivation. Players are always looking for things to use for motivation. I think that happens with Russell Westbrook, with me, with Patrick Beverley. That part of it is not unusual. But be professional.
You do understand one thing. I said this before, so I don't sound like a complete phony.
Okay.
You know the average fan doesn't care about your problems back and forth.
And that's
the Heat fans don't care. Yeah.
And that's why if it's done privately, I never bring it up unless I'm asking a forum like this and you move on, because you're right. I have such a dream job. You guys have such a dream job. We all know it's part of it. We all know there's those private moments that are highly uncomfortable. We've all had those. My problem is everything becomes a televised event. So this Russell Westbrook thing is televised live. There's no backing out of it. When Pat Riley calls me out in that televised session 2 weeks ago Saturday, it's streamed on, you know, on the Heat's website. It's broadcast on 790. So you can't sort of get away from it. That's the difference. The Spoelstra pregame things, same thing. You're the last person I would answer that question. Well, said one-on-one, it's kind of funny and kind of cute. The problem is everything becomes broadcast.
I have a question now. I want to go back to that Portland game for a second. Is Dame Lillard now, in NBA people's eyes, better than Russell Westbrook? Because I thought it for a couple of years, but he's kind of showed it last night, didn't he?
He thought it for a couple of years. He's the MVP last year.
It doesn't matter. For years I've said Dame Lillard is one of the best, if not the best, point guard in the league.
Oh.
And what he's done in this series shows it. Guys, this is what I hate about the NBA's postseason awards. The ballots are due at the end of the regular season, and that is it. They announced it at their fancy award show in June in Los Angeles. But the playoffs matter so much that I just think after a series like this, Damian Lillard right now should be first or second team worst at the NBA, you know, in the NBA, all NBA teams. I think a league where you play 2 months of playoffs and maybe the only games that matter, your award should reflect the postseason also, because clearly there's been a changing of the guards after this series. You're seeing some other series around the NBA as well. I think to end the voting for awards in April, but not to announce them in June, all of a sudden, if Russell Westbrook is second-team All-NBA and Damian Lillard is third-team or not at all, you're going to be sitting there at that award show in June and sort of shaking your head.
Let's get in the Hassan Whiteside thing and ex-girlfriend and the whole thing Avenatti and everything else, that scumball attorney. So help me out with this whole thing here.
Sure.
What was the almost $3 million about? People are like kind of curious. Do you have any insight on what happened there?
They went to Marshall together, and so when Hassan was beginning his pro career, he had a relationship of some sorts. And as you know, Joe, you don't necessarily have to be married for someone to be considered a partner. And the thought at the time was that she contributed to his growth, married or not, that they were together. And she felt that, hey, when we broke up, you know, I deserve my cut of it. Unfortunately, that's how it is now. I shouldn't say that. That came off wrong. But
you say it that way.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, whatever. You wind up being sort of seen as part of a relationship. you wind up paying the price. But here's the deal. That part of it never was fought out publicly. It was never, I'm not giving that woman a cent. This was all done behind the scenes and quietly. Now, look, I know it sounds like a huge amount to have paid $2.75 already and owe another $250,000 as part of the agreement. But again, you're talking about someone who got a $98 million contract and just wanted to move on. I mean, I don't know if you guys follow Usan when he's on social media and stuff. But the amount of money he has spent on some stuff based on what he's shown in his house and just his koi pond alone, this guy spends a lot of money on a lot of stuff and a lot of cars and a lot of off-road vehicles. So what to us might seem like, wow, that's an unbelievable payment, some of the things he has shown on his social media, this guy lives the lifestyles of the rich and famous. So I think to him, this was just another surtax of the whole thing. The Heat were totally aware of it. I checked that immediately when the story came out. Again, if a team does not believe it impacts a player's performance, they give him the $98 million. How he wants to spend it is up to him.
Bad luck, though, for Usan that this all came out.
It is a bad look, but let me ask you the other part of this. Let's turn it around, guys. Which is the worst look? To wind up with some kind of attorney who was embezzling and scamming you, allegedly, if that's the case? Or all the stories we read about how someone has to make child support, alimony payments?
Hey, back off!
And has the money. Okay, well, I'm just saying.
You struck a nerve. You struck a nerve, Ira.
The individuals here and talking much less money in some cases, Joe. But that's the thing. This isn't the case of an athlete who didn't make a payment when required. This isn't someone who had child support and one of the mothers of his children has to go to the press and make an issue of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Usan was found to owe a certain amount. He paid the amount and he moved on. Now that the fact is the money didn't go from party A to party B was not of his concern.
Yep.
He paid the money. Someone took the money as a middleman. A matter of fact, that was the attorney for the other party. So if anything, the aggrieved party who was done wrong made her mistake by trusting an attorney allegedly.
Yeah, she got a bad attorney. I don't have a problem with what Usan did. I mean, look, he was trying to do the right thing.
Lump sum.
Doing it privately, whatever it was, whatever the relationship was, I agree.
And Joe, I mean,
I have no room to talk, first of all.
A lot of guys have children by women they're not married to, including a bunch on the Heat. We see it all the time. And everyone gives me the same comment. Oh, she struck gold. Well, that's part of it. And you know what you're getting involved with as an adult person. You understand the consequences. And if you accept those consequences, you just move on with your life. I see it all the time. Again, I always say this. If you can say the timing of this incident, whenever it was that it came out, and you can look at Usan Whiteside's line scores and say, wow, that was when he had a drop-off in performance. To me, that's when it becomes a sports story. That's when it becomes a basketball story. But since we didn't know, and we didn't notice, and there have been so many other Usan Whiteside factors, I don't think you can say that he allowed this to impact his game. What's impacted his game is a coach who simply has greater trust in a second-year guy like Bam Adebayo, and to me, everything else is ancillary.
Joe, you ever have to drop a $2.75 million
never
check?
Never had that.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
My poor ex, I was broke. There wasn't much there.
A few less zeros there. These are the zeros you can't relate to.
Not much there, but you're right. By the way, you know the weird part of that, too? I guess this attorney's going to get upset, but $3 million. He took $1 million. That was his fees. Was $1 million.
I thought the exact same thing. I'm like,
it's a bad deal.
I
think that's what they get.
Fee.
Really?
And here's the deal. That's why she couldn't find a lawyer who would negotiate a better rate. Now, I agree that some lawyers will do better, and Joe, you know, and can squeeze out every last dollar out of you. But that caught me also. I'm like, that's almost usurious, the amount of, you know, commission that he could have legally taken. And think about that.
Yeah.
Again, these are all alleged. He could have gotten that above board, and this never is an issue.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's just not enough for some people. You would think $1 million collection on a $3 million settlement, you would just move on to the next thing, and instead this becomes this kind of story.
Yeah.
And fortunately for Usan, it came in the offseason, because, Joe, you know, even if it wasn't me or you, there would have been plenty of people asking plenty of questions in the locker room. So at least in this case, the Heat not making the playoffs turned out to an advantage to at least one party involved.
Yeah, she messed up. This is on her. This is not on our man, Usan Whiteside. He takes enough of a beating for other things. I'm with you. Totally on that one, Ira.
He did the right thing, yeah.
All right. Hey, Ira, thank you so much, man, for being with us. We appreciate it.
And we're looking at a great second round coming up. Talk to you next week. Thank you, guys.
Ira Winderman, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Who are the Dolphins going to take in this year's draft? Hear it live here on WQAM. Thursday night, we're going to be broadcasting from, get this, Dolphins headquarters in Davie, Hard Rock Stadium, and Dave and Buster's in Hollywood, where you're invited to hang out with all of us. We'll have all the picks and in-depth coverage of the Dolphins pick presented by Northern Tool and Equipment. Visit northerntool.com for location, sponsored by Four Wheel Parts. Check them out at 4WP.com and Dave and Buster's Eat, Drink, Play, Watch, and by 954Cool.com, keeping Broward cool.
Boy, I have spent a lot of time through the years with my kids over there.
Dave and Buster's?
Unbelievable.
I love that place.
And the food, I can't tell how many lunches I've had there, and just let the kids run wild.
That's it.
Do you have a favorite game? Like, would it be the basketball machine,
Papa Shot?
I do enjoy the basketball.
Papa Shot?
I do. When you come in right there to the right, it used to be in. Yep. I don't know if it's still there. But
I think it is.
But no, they got a lot of, you know.
I'll be honest. I'm old school. Stuff, my dad, right to the skee ball. I love the skee ball. I don't know why. It's not the coolest game there, but it is. I don't know why I love skee ball.
That's fun. Skee ball is very enjoyable.
That place is unbelievable. And their food was, I was telling Zach the other day, I go, man, you know, the food's really good there. Last time I was there, you know who was there? It was really crazy. And I think was crazy guy for Chicago Bulls,
Dennis Rodman.
Oh,
wow. What was he doing at Dave and Buster's?
Dennis was sitting at the bar, and I looked up, and I went, wow. It's a nice bar.
No, it is. It is.
Dennis Rodman was sitting up at the bar by himself?
No, he was with somebody.
You go up to him?
No.
Why not?
Because I was with people. You know, hey, guys, hold on. So I'm going to go see Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, you take
we'll
a picture.
We'll
find
out what he's. No, take a picture with him. God. Yeah. Okay.
He's a very unusual dude.
He is
anyway,
an unusual dude.
Yeah, so that place, enjoy it. So if you get a chance, go on out there and hang out. We're going to be at Hard Rock Stadium. Yep. Channing and I will be hosting the party out there that night for the Dolphin fans to come out there. So find out what the Miami Dolphins will do with that 13th pick. And then, of course, the following day, as of right now, and that could change. 48 and 78 for the second and the third round of the draft. We've got Jeff Darlington, speaking of draft, going to join us here in a few minutes. ESPN NFL Insider, doing a bunch of shows these days in studio. So he's been traveling around. By the way, we got to get back to what we were just talking about for just a second here, and we've been all over the board. The settlements for these attorneys, what
I was
they
shocked
get,
when I just heard that.
I saw legally he had worked out because I saw his comments about it in the Hassan Whiteside deal, Michael Avenatti. He said he was due the $3 million. He was due $1 million fee for himself.
So they got a $3 million settlement. She's only going to see two of that three.
He got $1 million and two were going to belong to her.
I'm definitely in the wrong profession.
So, yeah, you hit a couple of those big ones, a couple of those big lawsuits or settlements and – And the woman goes, I'm getting $10 million. And you go, no, you're not. You ain't getting 10.
It's actually 7.5.
I'm getting 3 or 4 myself. Yeah, yeah. So here's your check.
Wow.
And we'll go from there. Yeah.
That's very, very interesting. I did not know it was that. I knew there was obviously payment that had to go to the lawyer.
You were thinking, well, they got like a sports agent, 2 or 3%,
or 250 grand from 3 million.
10%.
Not bad. That's still a pretty good day.
Hourly wage.
$1 million, Joe?
Like, we only work 10 hours at $250 an hour or $500 an hour. That's all you owe us. They go, oh, hell no. We're getting a big piece of this.
33% of that settlement went to the lawyer.
Well, he ended up taking about 90%,
actually. Well, I mean, if it was all the way, it should have been.
I can't wait to hear what he has to say about all these people he scammed. I am dying to hear what he has to say because he said, I can explain everything and talk to all the people I've done and made a lot of money for. And you're like, well, I don't know. But when you decided to take on Nike, you really effed up on that one.
Yeah.
They got a few attorneys of their own. A few, really good.
A few?
Yeah. And now people are coming out going, it's not just Nike. He did it to me too.
This guy almost ran for president, right?
Isn't that funny? He got there on a roll was going after and claimed he had all this stuff on the president and he was going to run for president. And next thing you know, he had a little problem with his, his wife or girlfriend or whatever it was.
Also, in the middle of all that, I remember it's, you know, Stormy Daniels.
Stormy was in there. Stormy even dumped him.
Yeah,
even Stormy goes, you know what? This ain't working out the way I thought
dirty.
It would. We're out.
When the porn star calls you dirty,
then you got a serious problem.
By the way, you said you were going to be at the Dolphins draft party. Scott in the Attic in Boston just texted it about that. You want to hear his text?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, with draft night approaching, I know you'll be getting camera ready and would like to know what type of barrel of oil you'll be using to color that hair. I figure I could use the same to do the oil change my mom's old Pontiac, you old goat. Scott in the Attic in Boston.
Just tell Scott I'm using the same black polish I put on my shoes. We'll be fine.
And Splib texted in. This is Splib. Dennis Rodman owes me money. I won't say for what, though. It's a Splib getting in there also on the Dennis Rodman conversation.
You know, he lived down here and had a roommate for a long time. Remember
maybe it was
that?
Splib.
I don't know if he's still down here, but he was living down here, and I met a guy that listens to our show that says he's my roommate. Normal guy. Just, hey, he's my roommate. He's
just Dennis Rodman's roommate? Like in two-bedroom apartment?
Got a roommate.
That's weird. That could easily be the weirdest thing I've heard in the show.
You know what's weird, though? People do like being around Dennis Rodman.
I know that. He's a party.
I don't think he's a mean, vicious guy.
Nah, I don't think so.
But he's
a weirdo, though.
He's a little different.
I mean, he's a weirdo.
He's got a little different drum set than everybody else. I know what you're thinking there.
I can't believe you didn't go up to him.
Well, he's not like you. You were looking for a picture.
Yeah, with Dennis Rodman? Yeah. I've never passed that up.
When you go up and you catch somebody, like he's sitting at the bar and he's talking to a woman, you go up and ask him.
Can I get to take a selfie?
You didn't say he was talking to a woman. You said he was sitting at the bar.
I said he was with somebody. So he goes up there.
Could have been his roommate.
And you decide to go up there. I could see where you turn some people off. So when you tell me somebody blows you off, I go, I'm not surprised that somebody... Like, you go up and you get somebody while they're eating or drinking.
Yeah, he's not going to be happy.
Right?
I wouldn't, I mean.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When are you ever going to see Dennis Rodman again?
I don't know.
I'm 33. I've never seen him once.
Go to the strip club. And go to a couple of the strip clubs.
Is that where he hangs?
I don't know. That's where I saw him.
I don't know, but to see him in this place where, you know, it's funny. You're there and people take their kids and they come out there and you go through the games. You come back out the front. And there's Dennis Rodman. And by the way, they just redone the whole bar and the whole thing.
Of course, and he had to be the first one.
Really nice. And there's Dennis Rodman. So there's only a couple people. It's during the day.
By the way, two quick texts that just came in on Rodman. I saw Dennis Rodman a few weeks ago at the Aventura Mall. Dude's missing some screws. Another one said, I used to see Rodman all the time at Scarlet Strip Club. I'm telling you, I saw him at the Cheetah. We had a fight. There was a boxing match that night. We went there.
So he's still down here. Our scouting reports are telling us that he's still our private investigator.
South Florida
guy. He's still down here.
Splib texted back and said, I wasn't his roommate, but he did buy my food stamp card. Okay.
All right.
I'm just glad Splib, you know.
Oh, no, he keeps
back.
It real. Listen, one thing, my man keeps it real. You don't have to.
Saw Rodman at 11. What is that? That's a Club 11? Is that what that is, Hollywood? Hollywood's my Miami Beach expert. And Rodman lives in Aventura, someone just texted him.
All right. So he's over in Aventura.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
I hope to run into him. I'd love a picture with him.
God.
Can you just, when we talk about somebody, you always got to take a picture. You're like a friggin' groupie on this show, man.
Nothing better than when he pawns Leon off, the kid.
I know, but.
And then sends us
a picture. It's an easier in than.
I know it is. I know.
When you throw the kid up for the picture and he's too young to, it's still a turnoff, man.
He's too young for what? To be in a picture?
He's too young
to know that you're pawning him as the picture.
Yeah. He'll know. He'll see it in 10 years from now and be like, wow, that was cool. I met that guy.
All right. Listen, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to break on your last comments. Everything gets back to a friggin' picture. Whatever we're talking about, he gets to a picture opportunity. Hey, Jeff Darlington is going to join us. We'll take a little time with Jeff, talk about this upcoming draft and latest on everything going on and what he thinks the Miami Dolphins might be doing. So stay with us for all that stuff. We'll be back in just a moment.
Radio.com.
Listen up, folks. Next week, it's that time again where we give you a chance to win $1,000 between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. This year, we're giving you a chance to take home Dono's Dollars. He's moved to middays, and he's got some extra cash hanging around right now, so you could take it right from him. It's going to be a national contest. It's brought to you by Anajar Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. Win Dono's Dollars starting next week right here on 560 FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, a radio.com sports station.
Dono's hot right now, man, so it's a good way to get those dollars by with Dono. That's the way you kick things off, with Dono's Dollars.
Right, of course.
That's the way you kick
off. Nothing wrong with that at all.
That's the way you kick off 10 o'clock right there. Dono's Dollars, man. Yep. Coming up.
We had some text earlier about what the Frito thing would be called.
We got somebody else besides Dono's Dollars. He's money every day, Jeff Darlington.
Joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline from ESPN and friend of the show, Jeff Darlington. Welcome to Draft Week, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, just invigorated.
Hey, Jeff, do they make you do a mock draft?
No, hell no, Joe.
That makes two of us. That makes two. Zach doesn't do any. That makes three of us that don't have a mock draft. I'm a little burned out on mock drafts right now.
I don't know, man. Like, I just you know what's funny to me? I think I've probably said this to you before, but, like, the draft to me is this weird exercise where, like, literally every year, for like 2 months, everybody says all this crap, and then it proves to be wrong, right? Like tomorrow or on Friday morning, everything everybody said for the past like 3 months will prove to be almost 100% incorrect, and yet nobody will like question it. And then next year, we'll do the exact same exercise again, as if like we didn't just do the same thing the year before.
You know what? Nobody will care if Todd and Mel and those guys, they come out, and even they'll scream going, wow, I can't believe they took him. We didn't see that guy coming up that high.
Not only that, Joe, and from a journalism standpoint, it, like, goes against everything that I was ever taught, which is, like, so, like, if someone's going to tell me something, right, about the draft, they're going to either tell me as, like, a loyal, trustworthy person who believes I'm not going to report it because it would not be in their best interest, or they're going to tell me because it's not true. Right. Either way, is this the dumbest exercise? But anyway, super stoked about the draft coming up. Check it out on ESPN. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
And ABC. Don't forget.
And by the
ABC
way, don't worry. The reason we're doing it, there's going to be a lot of people watching. Let's get down.
Man, you know, it's funny because I ripped the process beforehand, but I always get so juiced up, like, for some reason. I can't even.
Well, you want to know where everybody's going. You feel like you've interviewed half the guys. Yeah. You want to know where they're going, right?
Well, like, the 10 minutes before, I get, like, all amped up, and you start to feel, like, that energy. And, like, so, I mean, as much as I rip it, I'll be into it just as much as anybody, right as Arizona goes on the clock.
All right, well, speaking of Arizona for a second, Kyler, you're going to be surprised if that number one pick overall is not Kyler Murray?
I won't be surprised, no, but you know, I do understand and feel like Cliff Kingsbury really does want Kyler, but I also understand that Steve Keim is in a position where, you know, he's got to look that owner in the eye and Bidwell and say, you remember how two years ago, I told you that coach that I was going to hire the right guy and that quarterback I was going to draft was the right guy? Well, the coach is gone, and now I'm going to get a new quarterback too. So, like, he's in a little bit of a weird spot. And not to mention, I understand the idea of the draw of the quarterback and all that, but, like, we can talk about Kyler Murray all we want. In my opinion, in 5 to 10 years, we're going to be looking at this saying, wait, Kyler Murray or Nick Bosa? And people were talking about Kyler Murray? Like, in my opinion, Nick Bosa is a can't-miss, like, potential Hall of Famer. That guy's a beast. And I know he's not as sexy as a quarterback because he's a defensive front kind of guy, but, like, I think Bosa's absurd. And I mean, I think Joey Bosa's probably top five player in the NFL and certainly top five most underrated player in the NFL. And if Nick is anything like Joey,
yeah,
that's the guy you should be taking first overall.
How about this one? How about Joey and Nick actually played together at St. Thomas Aquinas? People forget,
wow,
as a freshman, Nick was playing on the varsity as a, I think, a freshman, a sophomore. He started. Jeez. It's like a 220-pound defensive lineman playing with Big Brother there. Big five-star bro.
It's pretty good bookend.
Jeez. Yeah.
Think about that. I love. I always get the mailings at my house from their mother, who's a realtor. You know, like mother.
She got a good bloodline, too, the Kumaro bloodline, yes.
Yeah, I love it, though, because she's like, you know, such a proud mother, and then all of a sudden they're both in the NFL, and I haven't gotten those mailings anymore.
They will stop immediately in about, I don't know, 30 hours or so when that happens, yes.
That's awesome, though.
Hey, Jeff, I was thinking about you because you've been working with somebody that's got a lot of information on this draft. He does, you know, everything in the information. Mike Tannenbaum's now working with you. I know you've worked with him a lot. Does he open up about that stuff, or does he? Because you know, there's been a lot of work put in on this draft, and he was still there for it. Has he said much about that on certain guys? Because he probably honestly knows as much as anybody. Nothing against the other guys, but he's been around in all those meetings, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get that. I don't know. I don't get that sense. I think philosophically, the Dolphins are kind of like headed in a different direction. Like I think. And as, it's not as much about Tannenbaum, honestly, in my opinion, as it is about Gase and Flores, the switch there. Like, I truly think that
yeah,
the
that's
influence
true.
Of the head coach on Chris Greer probably has more impact than Mike Tannenbaum necessarily did. I truly believe that. I'm not trying to slight Tannenbaum here either, even though, like, I don't necessarily agree with a lot of what he did in Miami, but I think that Greer – is more, I mean, Greer is a collaborative guy. Like, I know he says it and people might, like, roll their eyes, but he truly is. Like, this is the kind of guy who wants the voices in the room to kind of get on the same page. And that did include Tannenbaum, without question, the past several years. I mean, Tannenbaum was his boss. But I still think that Greer is more subject, more inclined to take what the head coach wants and try to find that for him than vice versa. So I really do think that Flores' impact here is probably – the bigger deal. So I don't really think that Tannenbaum's intel at this point would really even be relevant.
It's always an interesting one because I'm always curious about this. After all these years, if you got a strong personality as a GM and you're going, damn it, you need to take this guy. I know you're not crazy about him, but my staff friggin' loves him. He's going to be a great player. And if your head coach doesn't buy in and the first time he's got a little hiccup in his game, he's looking at you, and all of a sudden, you got a little problem in the relationship, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hardest part about this whole deal. And I think that's why I hate when organizations and this time feels a little different with Greer and Flores just because of their personalities. But when organizations go and get a head coach, and then a year later they get a GM, and a year later they do a head coach,
I agree.
Like, man, there's got to be a better way to contractually tie them to each other so that that doesn't happen because. You're inclined. The human instinct is to say, well, it's not my coaching, it's the players. And then the other guy's going to say, well, it's not my players, it's the coaching. So, I mean, that's just human inclination. If you're not lockstep, and if you're not, honestly, forget lockstep, somehow contractually obligated to each other. And, you know, I think that it's a good thing to put Greer on top. And I hope that Greer, while he says that he is going to be collaborative and doesn't want to betray the trust. He doesn't think it's worth it to betray the trust of the head coach in that regard. He still, when they're on the clock, if he wants the guy and there is a difference of opinion, he has to impose himself and say, you know what? You know, this is my pick. It's my rear. His in rear. Can I say ass? Is that allowed?
Ass it's his fine. Ass.
Yeah, it's ass is
okay.
Good.
Yeah.
It's my ass.
It is.
Like, we're picking this guy. And I think that, it's going to be important for Greer to realize that now that he is the head honcho, the main guy, the guy who oversees it all.
All right, Jeff. Cardinals just got off the board. They picked Kyler Murray. Your phone rings because you're sitting next to Chris Greer. Cardinals call you and say, we'll take a three right now. Number right. 78 overall for Josh Rosen.
Oh, yeah.
What do you say to Chris Greer if he's asking for your input?
Oh, can Chris Greer give up a third round pick? You're saying
78. The Cardinals say we'll take 78.
Or a second round pick the following year.
Yeah, or a two in 2020.
I'm a terrible negotiator. I give him the second round pick this year. I mean, I'm not saying that if he offers the third, absolutely. But I'd give up a second round pick for Josh Rosen right now if I'm the Miami Dolphins. I mean, he's still a first round quarterback. You know, how many Mitch Trubisky and Jared Goff from year one to year two. Like, think about those
guys. Yeah, you're right.
What was Josh Rosen? We do not have a proper evaluation of him. If Josh Rosen is coming out right now in this draft, forget everything that happened in the past year, because honestly, you can throw it out. Rosen was not responsible for his shortcomings this past year. If he's coming out right now, I'm not so sure he's not the first quarterback off the board.
Wow.
He might be ahead of Haskins and Murray right now. So if you can give up a second-round pick for Josh Rosen, I would do it, to be honest. So if the Dolphins are in that situation to give up a third,
that's going
to
be interesting.
Get on Ross's jet and pick him up in Arizona right now. Mm.
But Jeff, they passed on him a year ago. They had him if they wanted him. He's taken one pick.
But different value, though. I mean, we're not talking about a first-round pick anymore.
Okay, so
I think if you can get Josh Rosen for a second or third-round pick, you absolutely do it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know that scenario is going to be brought up. I know there's reports that they might keep them both on the roster through the summer to see if somebody gets hurt, you know, in training camp. And I guess that's a possibility also. I'm just thinking that if that pick is made, I know the NFL doesn't want Arizona to say anything now to ruin the drama for the number one pick, even if they do have something in place, a trade in place or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But I do understand. My thoughts were the same thing. At 78, you take them in a second. Like, not even – I wouldn't even budge, because in the third round, you might get an offensive tackle or defensive lineman, and the Dolphins need both at this point. But man, that's a value guy that was picked 10th last year that you can get for possibly 78. I would do it in a second.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a second round pick in there from somebody.
It's a continued evaluation too on the guy too. Like, I also believe, I mean, you know what's crazy to me? Like, not to go down a completely different road, but Chris Greer, like, I find it somewhat fascinating, and I'm kind of attached to this for some reason, but Bobby Greer, 19 years ago, Chris's father, is largely responsible for finding Tom Brady in the sixth round. He's the only guy who called Lloyd Carr to scout him and ultimately steered the organization to pick Tom Brady, his father. You got to think that Chris Greer in his head is sitting there saying, I know Tom Brady doesn't grow on trees, but I also think that if I can do my homework and my preparation and continue to evaluate these quarterbacks, I can find one somewhere that nobody else is looking. And if that means bringing Josh Rosen in and then also adding a guy like later in the draft or something, I see nothing wrong with having multiple quarterbacks on your roster. I think Tom Brady entered the Patriots depth chart that year fifth. He was number five. They had five quarterbacks, and he battled his way to the top. I think that Chris Greer has to have that in his head somewhere.
Jeff, where are you going to be tomorrow before we have to let you run for 9 o'clock
out? Man. I'm going to be down here waiting on that Josh Rosen call, man.
You think it could happen?
Yeah, I think it could happen. I mean, I don't have anything behind that. There's no it's purely speculative right now, and a lot needs to happen.
What do you think happens since you're going to be down here and part of our party now that I know that nationally? What do you think they do with a first-round pick?
I think realistically, like, I think four defensive linemen come off the board, and if they can walk out of this thing with Christian Wilkins from Clemson, I think that's a big win for the Dolphins. So while it might not be that appealing to everybody, Christian Wilkins, the kind of guy, high-character guy that Flores would love, three-technique type of defensive lineman, if he winds up with the team number 13, I think the Dolphins should be celebrating.
Yep, I think I'd be celebrating too. It's a good pick. Sounds like a good pick.
I don't know why Jeff's got me thinking we're going to get Josh Rosen now.
It's not
on
thinking
Friday.
That. It's just going to happen. No. It might happen to some team. Why not the Dolphins?
He's doing the history thing with Dad, and now I'm thinking,
trying to hire the
is
dad.
Is it not the team? Is it not the team that makes the most sense for his services at this point? I mean, other than a team like the Patriots or something like that.
That's
like,
what scares me.
I do agree. We don't know how good he is for everybody. It's already decided or says something about his personality or a jacuzzi he had in college or something, like, you know, or whatever. Like, nobody cares about that.
It's okay. Like, that. I feel like there's this expectation that Greer, and I understand it, Greer's got to hit home runs this draft.
Oh, yeah.
But you still can't be so scared of your shadow when it comes to taking some chances that you just go with the safe guys. Safe doesn't always work. You have to be smart, but you don't always have to be safe.
By the way, that's the storyline right there. You hit the storyline. Chris Greer, is he putting his big boy pants on and not going to take safe picks and go out there and get some guys? There's your story, JD, right there, my man.
All right, we'll roll with it.
All right. Hey, Jeff, thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jeff.
You coming on.
Appreciate it. All right, talk soon.
All right, that was Jeff Darlington from ESPN. down here in Miami for
a man.
He's like
not
that.
Going anywhere. No wonder he's here on a damn Wednesday
instead.
We got 9 o'clock hour coming up. Zach, we'll jump in on all of it. Jeff, whoa, man, bringing that.
Josh Rosen, you guys got me.
Rosen make the most sense here. Kyler Murray go to Arizona. A lot of things, man, to watch for. That's what's making tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, so sexy.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.